Today is the second day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Welcome back to the Global Campfire. It's great to be here with everyone. I hope everybody's nice and cozy. Wherever you may be, it's good to be here together in this place. A safe place that we create for each other every day. A place where we just come to let the scriptures speak for themselves into our lives. And so I'm grateful that this place exists at all. And I'm very grateful that we get to be here together, taking the next step forward. Our next step forward leads us to the conclusion of the book of Isaiah. So we will read today the final chapter, which is the 66th chapter, and be moving forward tomorrow. But first, Isaiah chapter 66. This is what the Lord says. The heavens are my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is the house you will build for me? Where is the place where I will rest? My hand made them. That is how they came to be, says the Lord. I show special favor to the humble and contrite, who respect what I have to say. The one who slaughters a bull also strikes down a man. The one who sacrifices a lamb also breaks a dog's neck. The one who presents an offering includes pig's blood with it. The one who offers incense also praises an idol. They have decided to behave this way. They enjoy these disgusting practices. So I will choose severe punishment for them. I will bring on them what they dread. Because I called, and no one responded. I spoke, and they did not listen. They did evil before me. They chose to do what displeases me. Listen to the Lord's message, you who respect his word. Your countrymen, who hate you and exclude you, supposedly for the sake of my name, say, "May the Lord be glorified. Then we will witness your joy." But they will be put to shame. The sound of battle comes from the city. The sound comes from the temple. It is the sound of the Lord paying back his enemies. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before her contractions begin, she delivers a boy. Who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen this? Can a country be brought forth in one day? Can a nation be born in a single moment? Yet as soon as Zion goes into labor, she gives birth to sons. Do I bring a baby to the birth opening and then not deliver it? Asks the Lord. Or do I bring a baby to the point of delivery and then hold it back? Asks your God. Be happy for Jerusalem and rejoice with her, all you who love her. Share in her great joy, all you who have mourned over her. For you will nurse from her satisfying breasts and be nourished. You will feed with joy from her milk-filled breasts. For this is what the Lord says. Look, I am ready to extend to her prosperity that will flow like a river. The riches of nations will flow into her like a stream that floods its banks. You will nurse from her breast and be carried at her side. You will play on her knees. As a mother consoles a child, so I will console you, and you will be consoled over Jerusalem. When you see this, you will be happy and you will be revived. The Lord will reveal his power to his servants and his anger to his enemies. For look, the Lord comes with fire. His chariots come like a windstorm to reveal his raging anger, his battle cry and his flaming arrows. For the Lord judges all humanity with fire and his sword. The Lord will kill many. As for those who consecrate and ritually purify themselves so they can follow their leader and worship in the sacred orchards, those who eat the flesh of pigs and other disgusting creatures like mice, they will all be destroyed together, says the Lord. I hate their deeds and thoughts. So I am coming to gather all the nations and ethnic groups. They will come and witness my splendor. I will perform a mighty act among them, and then send some of those who remain to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, Lud, known for its archers, Tubal, Javan, and the distant coastlands that have not heard about me or seen my splendor. They will tell the nations of my splendor. They will bring back all your countrymen from all the nations as an offering to the Lord. They will bring them on horses, in chariots, in wagons, on mules, and on camels to my holy hill, Jerusalem, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring offerings to the Lord's temple in ritually pure containers, and I will choose some of them as priests and Levites, says the Lord. For just as the new heavens and the new earth I am about to make will remain standing before me, says the Lord, so your descendants and your name will remain. From one month to the next, and from one Sabbath to the next, all people will come to worship me, says the Lord. They will go out and observe the corpses of those who rebelled against me, for the maggots that eat them will not die, and the fire that consumes them will not die out. All people will find the sight abhorrent. Philippians 3:4-21. Though mine too are significant. If someone thinks he has good reasons to put confidence in human credentials, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day from the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. I lived according to the law as a Pharisee. In my zeal for God, I persecuted the church. According to the righteousness stipulated in the law, I was blameless. But these assets I have come to regard as liabilities because of Christ. More than that, I now regard all things as liabilities compared to the far greater value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Indeed, I regard them as dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not because I have my own righteousness derived from the law, but because I have the righteousness that comes by way of Christ's faithfulness, a righteousness from God that is in fact based on Christ's faithfulness. My aim is to know him, to experience the power of his resurrection, to share in his sufferings and to be like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this. That is, I have not already been perfected, but I strive to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have attained this. Instead, I am single-minded, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching out for the things that are ahead. With this goal in mind, I strive toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let those of us who are perfect embrace this point of view. If you think otherwise, God will reveal to you the error of your ways. Nevertheless, let us live up to the standards that we have already attained. Be imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and watch carefully those who are living this way, just as you have us as an example. For many live, about whom I have often told you, and now with tears I tell you that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly. They exult in their shame and they think about earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we also eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform these humble bodies of ours into the likeness of His glorious body, by means of that power by which He is able to subject all things to Himself. Psalm 74, a well-written song by Asaph. Why, O God, have you permanently rejected us? Why does your anger burn against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your people whom you acquired in ancient times, whom you rescued so they could be your very own nation, as well as Mount Zion, where you dwell. Hurry to the permanent ruins and to all the damage the enemy has done to the temple. Your enemies roar in the middle of your sanctuary. They set up their battle flags. They invade like lumberjacks swinging their axes in a thick forest. And now they are tearing down all its engravings with axes and crowbars. They set your sanctuary on fire. They desecrate your dwelling place by knocking it to the ground. They say to themselves, "We will oppress all of them." They burn down all the places in the land where people worship God. We do not see any signs of God's presence. There are no longer any prophets, and we have no one to tell us how long this will last. How long, O God, will the adversary hurl insults? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? Why do you remain inactive? Intervene and destroy him. But God has been my king from ancient times, performing acts of deliverance on the earth. You destroyed the sea by your strength. You shattered the heads of the sea monster in the water. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You fed him to the people who live along the coast. You broke open the spring and the stream. You dried up perpetually flowing rivers. You established the cycle of day and night. You put the moon and sun in place. You set up all the boundaries of the earth. You created the cycle of summer and winter. Remember how the enemy hurls insults, O Lord, and how a foolish nation blasphemes your name. Do not hand the life of your dove over to a wild animal. Do not continue to disregard the lives of your oppressed people. Remember your covenant promises, for the dark regions of the earth are full of places where violence rules. Do not let the afflicted be turned back in shame. Let the oppressed and poor praise your name. Rise up, O God. Defend your honor. Remember how fools insult you all day long. Do not disregard what your enemies say, or the unceasing shouts of those who defy you. Proverbs 24, 15 and 16. Do not lie in wait like the wicked against the place where the righteous live. Do not assault his home. Indeed, a righteous person will fall 7 times and then get up again, but the guilty will collapse in calamity. Okay, so Paul has some pretty poignant things to say in the letter to the Philippians today. So let's contextualize this. So many of us in the community here around the world are married. So many of us are not. So many of us are too young. So many of us are widowers or widows or formerly married for one reason or another. So we're all over the place. But if we're married, then there's a pretty decent chance that we can look down at our left hand on our ring finger and see a wedding ring. if we look at that ring, like maybe just do it. Look at that ring. Is that ring your marriage? Like even if it's a big deal, like super extravagant, or even if it's just like not, very, very simple. Nobody's going to call their wedding ring their marriage. They're going to call it a symbol that represents the fact that they have entered into the covenant of marriage. And so being married is way different than having a symbol wrapped around your finger. At least that's been my experience. It's way different than just looking down and seeing a wedding ring. And that's pretty well Paul's point. Throughout so much of his writings, throughout his entire ministry, he's essentially saying this covenantal relationship that God offered to his people had become, like, they lost the plot. It became empty ritual, like a wedding ring on a finger in a marriage that is ritually betrayed. It doesn't mean all that much. The heart and the soul of the relationship has become betrayed and about the rules. So for Paul, obeying the rules in order to try to be made righteous and in covenant with God had proven vastly unfruitful. And we shouldn't just think of Paul as just finding a way to get out of trying really hard, because Paul wasn't just basic in his faith. He was as devout as a person could get. He obeyed the rules with all of his might and still couldn't find a relationship with God in those rules. And that's what he's articulating pretty clearly in Philippians today. Because Paul was convinced that only the righteous would ever see God. So before he met Jesus, he did everything he possibly could with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength to find God through the rituals and the ceremonies of his faith. It just didn't make him righteous. It revealed his inability to become righteous on his own. And then according to Paul, somebody fulfilled the law. And that's Jesus. Somebody actually did it. And Paul realized that faith is the only way a person can become righteous. The law cannot do this. Which is why Paul put all his faith in Jesus, believing that God was doing something brand new in the world and was restoring humanity to himself in fellowship with himself, back in covenant, like taking everybody back through, after all of the betrayal, taking everybody back through Jesus. And this is such a monumental paradigm shift that Paul says all of the efforts, the devout, lifelong efforts to trying to obey the law and live in it and interpret it correctly was a complete waste. I quote Paul, "For his sake, I discarded everything. I lost it all. I lost everything. And now I look back and it's all like garbage. I did this so I could gain Jesus. So I could become one with Jesus. I don't count any of the things that I did as my own righteousness through obeying the law as anything to be valued anymore. I become righteous through faith in Jesus. That's the only way. Because God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith." Obviously, these are pretty fundamental truths of the Christian faith, but they're all throughout Paul's writing, and continually seeing them throughout Paul's writing helps us. We need this repetition because we're often mistaking the ring for the relationship as we try to obey the rules and get in some kind of position where God will bless and notice us. So was Paul trying to do away with the rules? Are there just no rules? Do the rules of our faith have any value at all? Like if our salvation is a gift that we can never earn, then what is the point in trying to live by any sort of rule of life I mean, let's look at the wedding ring again. Can you make your spouse love you? You can't make anybody love you. Their love is a gift. And so since it's a gift, can we do whatever we want in the marriage? Right? Hardly. The exchange of love between two people involves so much risk and so much loyalty. If the relationship is healthy, then the rules are apparent. Like, we're not following the rules of marriage out of coercion. The rules are what define our love. And this is Paul's point as it relates to Jesus. And he's absolutely convinced that we're on this journey and we will be made whole and restored through the relationship that we've been offered through Christ. But if we're going to be in that covenant, then we can't betray it at will any more than we can betray our marriage by just simply saying we have the wedding ring. If we're going to be in love with Jesus, then we're going to have to actually act like we're in love with Jesus. So Holy Spirit, come into that. There can be deep conviction there. The way that we lean on grace. The way that we're not paying attention. The way that we feel like we can betray you at will because you'll forgive us. As if it doesn't matter and you have no feelings and you don't care. We're reading the Bible and that seems to indicate that you care a great deal about us and the outcomes of our lives. And you care a great deal about being betrayed and cheated on. Or reading through the prophets, it's impossible to miss your feelings on these things. So Holy Spirit, come. Where do we land in all this? Are we claiming the ring without any commitment at all? Are we claiming the covenant and feeling as if we can do whatever we want in secret? Is that what we're doing here? And would that explain a lot about the shape of our lives? Holy Spirit, come. In the name of Jesus, we ask, bring the light of truth. Spirit of truth, bring the light of truth. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base. So check out home base. Stay familiar, stay connected. Check out the community section. This is where to be connected on social media. It's also where you find the prayer wall, which is here in this community for those of us who are taking this journey through the ups and downs of the Bible. The ups and downs of our weeks and months as we navigate through life together. So be familiar with that. It is quite an intricate and important part of being around the Global Campfire. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being at the Global Campfire each day and having this place and knowing that it's here is life-giving and meaningful, thank you humbly, deeply for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. But we've got tomorrow. I'm Brian. I love you, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Michelle from Boston. I'm calling for Godscal in Minnesota. When you talked about our lives being like jars of clay and feeling like yours was smashed, that reminds me of my story. I felt like God had made a masterpiece, just a beautiful vase, and it was perfect and gorgeous. And the choices that I made and the things that I did just smashed it, completely ruined it to pieces. And I tried so hard to put it back together. I tried duct taping it together. I tried gluing it together. I tried that cool Japanese thing where they fill everything in with gold, and it just wasn't working. And so finally I asked God to hold it together, and he did, because he can and because he loves me. But it still didn't feel quite right. And I finally said, okay, God, just let go. Let all the pieces fall. And at the moment, it felt like giving up. But what I realized later, that was when I gave up control over to God. Because as all the pieces were falling around me, God tapped me on the shoulder and said, my child, turn around. And I turned around and I just saw this giant mural that was beautiful beyond compare. So much more beautiful than my vase could ever be alone. And he picked up a piece and said, this piece goes here. And he allowed me to help him put that piece in. And that's just when I found my trust. And there's still a lot of pieces sitting around me, but I'm asking God to point out, where can this piece enhance your plan and your creation? And can you help me put it in there? Maybe that's helpful, but I am praying for you, Godscal. Love you.
Hello, everyone. This is Joyfully Joe. And Pastor Brian, I just wanted to say thank you for your podcast on the 26th and how you were talking about staying in the moment with the Holy Spirit. And it's just a great reminder of how to actually live a joyful life and not to feel overwhelmed or anxious or fearful. Because when we are staying in the moment, we're recognizing the Holy Spirit's presence. And He is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And yet we lose track of that. And when I'm staying in the moment, say for instance, I'm with my grandchildren, I am able to enjoy that moment and hear about their likes and their dislikes and their what they're doing in their lives and praying over them and able to be instant in the Spirit and speak the truth in their lives. And it's just beautiful. And then I have other moments that may not be so enjoyable, like tasks. Doing laundry, washing dishes, and but staying in those moments with the Holy Spirit helps me to be grateful for the people who will be blessed by the task I'm doing, and gives me opportunity to pray over them. Anyway, I could go on this subject on and on. It's so beautiful. So be encouraged, people. Stay in the moment.
Serene Ghost, this is God's Life Speaker. I heard you the last, must be like 57 minutes on the community prayers. And if you haven't listened to community prayers, anyone out there, and you think your prayer requests have not made it, they're on community prayers. And just listen a little bit every day and you'll hear them. But Serene Ghost, you're so broken. But I want you to go back to September 21st, the last 57 minutes or so. And right after your prayer request for your wife, after the concert you went to, is Jamie in New Jersey. And it was like his prayer was for you. It's for all of us. But because yours came right before his prayer, it was like he was covering you. for all of us, and that it is the leaning on God in a way that is only possible through the Holy Spirit. And in your exhaustion, and those who are exhausted, that it is before God that our hearts can be lifted, even when our bodies are heavy. Serene ghosts, know that your Deb family is covering you. We're praying for miracles. We're praying for your wife. And God sees it all, and he carries your hearts. Believe that about God. He is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. We love you, Serene Ghost. In Jesus' name.
Hello, this is Jaina from Minnesota. I've been listening and enjoying DAB for about half a year now. I would like to ask for prayer for our dear friends, the Pope family. They gave us permission to put this on here. And they lost their 41-year-old son, Cody, to a drowning accident in the Mississippi River this summer in July. He saved his 6-year-old son and the 11-year-old daughter of his girlfriend, and as he pushed them to safety, the current pulled him under. Cody was a loving and kind father and friend and gave all. Praying for the Holy Spirit comfort to bring his mother and father great peace and comfort through this whole ordeal. They are still struggling. Thank you very much.